one. Next, they all surface together with heads aligned and stretched upward, with their bills held open. In a second group behavior, dozens of birds swim in a line, then zigzag together in a synchronized pattern across the ocean surface. For razorbills, which breed and hunt for food in groups, these carefully coordinated movements are how they get in sync. For BirdNote, I'm Michael Stein.
Simon Fraser University on Burnaby
Peter Jones, and you are indeed listening to Tell Us a Tale, where Jen Hoffman and I are going to invite a couple of our storytelling musician friends in to share a couple of stories with you, starting with one from the great Pete Seeger called Sam the Whaler, and you can find that on his album Abba Yo-Yo and Other Story Songs for Children.
Once upon a time, long ago, there was a boy who lived on the banks of the Hudson River. In those days, he used to look out of his window and see the sailing ships with their big white sails sailing up the river, coming back from all around the world. One evening, he sat down to eat supper and he said, "Ma, what's this mush for supper again?" She said, "Well, Sam, we don't have anything but mush. We can't afford chicken and nice things like that, like other people have." Well, Sam pushed his chair back from the table. He says, "Ma, I'm tired of mush for breakfast, mush for lunch, mush for supper. I just don't feel like eating." And he shoved his chair back, and he got up, and he walked out of the house, and he walked down to the river. He walked down to the beautiful river where the beautiful boats were. He listened to the sailors talking down there. And one of the sailors was singing a song. "'Tis advertised in Boston, New York, and Buffalo, 500 brave Americans a-whaling for to go, singing, blow, ye winds of the morning, blow, ye winds, hi-ho, clear away a running gear, and blow, blow, blow." Sam went over to an old sailor who was sitting there whittling, and he says, "Is that true? Do they want people to work on the whaling boats and sail around the world catching whales?" Sailor says, "Sure thing, son." He says, "If you want a job, you go over to the captain there." Sam went over to the boat. He said, "Captain, captain, you got a job for me? I'll do anything you want. I'll shine the doorknobs. I'll scrub the decks. I'll do anything you want. I'll peel the potatoes. I want to go with you. I want to go around the world. I want to catch whales." The captain says, "Well, now, son, it's hard work. Doesn't pay very much." "Oh, I still want to go. I want to go." "Well, son, you got your mother's permission? It's all right with me. We need a cabin boy." Sam ran home as fast as he could. "Ma, ma, pack my toothbrush. Pack an extra pair of pajamas. I gotta go. I'm gonna sail around the world." And his mother got a little bag of all his precious things, an extra comic book and a couple extra things, and he ran back to the ship. And down the river they went. The captain said, "Haul up the main anchor. Haul up the main anchor, we're sailing now." They went down the river past Storm King, past Bear Mountain, down the river, Tarrytown, Yonkers, Spite and Dival, out in the open sea. Sam looked around. He looked to the south, and there was nothing but water. He looked to the east, there was nothing but water. He looked all directions, there was nothing but water. He kept on sailing, and one day the captain says, "Sam, I think you better climb up there in the crow's nest and look around and see if you can see any whales." "Crow's nest," says Sam, "what's that?" "See that little thing way up in the mast? That's where you stand." And Sam went up. And he tied himself close in there. He held on to the mast so tight because when the wind blew, the mast would bend over to one side. Bend way over. And he looked straight down. There was nothing but water underneath him. Bend over the other direction. He looked straight down. There's nothing but water underneath him. The captain hollers up, "Sam, let loose of that mast. Says you gotta look for whales." So Sam did his best. Ship was tipping back and forth. He looked all directions. All he could see was the blue sea. Till way off in the horizon, he thought he saw something look like a little fountain. It went, "She blows!" he cried. And the captain says, "Where does she blow?" 3 points off the starboard bow," says Sam. And he climbs down as quick as he could. "Well, clear away the boats, my boys, and after him we'll travel. But if you get too near his tail, he'll kick you to the devil, singing, blow, you winds of the morning, blow, you winds, hi-ho, clear away a running gear, and blow, blow, blow." And they got in the boat, and they rowed, 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 and they got nearer, and they got nearer, and they got nearer, and they got very quiet. And the man with the harpoon drew his hand back. They got so near, they were almost touching the whale. Into the whale! The whale thrashed goes down deep. He goes up in the air. He claps his tail on the side of the boat. He almost smashes them all up. But finally the whale gets all tired out. Well, we tore alongside, says the men. Next comes a stowing down, my boys. 'Twill take both night and day. And you'll all have 50 cents apiece on the 190th day. Singing, blow, you winds of the morning. Blow, you winds, hi-ho. Clear away our running gear and blow, blow, blow. Well, Sam practiced until he could get good enough to throw the harpoon himself. And eventually the captain let him go out and be the one to throw the harpoon. He climbed up the mast many times, and as the mast would sway back and forth, he looked to the east. All he'd see would be the ocean. He looked to the south. All he'd see would be ocean. He looked to the west. All he'd see would be ocean. He looked to the north, up right near a couple icebergs. And there he saw... Pew, pew, pew. The ship blows, he hollered. And the captain says, where does she blow? And Sam says, 5 points off the port bow. And down the mast he came. In the boats they went. They all were rowing. They'd row as fast as they could. They rose faster. They'd get nearer. And this time Sam was up front. Sam pulled back with the harpoon. He'd sharpened it till it was as sharp as a needle. Into the whale. The whale thrashed around. It dived down deep to the bottom of the ocean. It went high in the air and slap on the water. Finally, though, it'd get tired out. And they'd tow it back to the ship and stow it all down in the barrels in the bottom of the ship. Well, they caught long whales and short whales. They caught big whales and small whales. They caught spotted whales and striped whales and ugly whales and pretty whales and black whales and white whales. Till finally, one day, Sam and all the rest of the men says to the captain, say, Captain, we're getting mighty tired of having nothing but whale stew and whale meat to eat, whale pancakes, whale salad, whale soup, whale everything. Says, we want some nice fresh milk to drink. We want some nice green lettuce to eat. And the captain says, well, now, don't you think we ought to get just a couple more whales? The man says, no, it's time we turned around. Captain says, just one more. But all the men stood together. They say, no, this is enough. So backwards around they turned. They sailed around, they sailed back across the ocean, back in the direction from which they came, till finally one day, long time it took them, one day they saw the hills, the green hills of home. They sailed into Hudson River, they sailed up the river, past Spuyten Duyvil, past Yonkers, past Tarrytown, past Bear Mountain, past Storm King, till finally they could see the light way there in the top of Mount Beacon. And Sam says to his friends, he said, there we are. We're home. And they came up tied up at shore, and every man stood and took his turn. The captain paid out a big bag of silver dollars. He paid out a handful of silver dollars to this man. He paid out a handful of silver dollars to that man. When he finally came to Sam, the last one, he gave him one silver dollar. Sam looked at it. He says, holy mackerel! Is this all I get for working all this time? Captain says, well, now, Sam, you were just learning, you know. Holy mackerel, says Sam, and he called, hey, Joe! Hey, Pete! He says, look at all I got paid! The men came back and said, hey, now, look here, Captain. If you want to get any of us to go out sailing with you, you pay him just the same as we did. He worked just as hard as anybody else. Well, says the captain, I suppose I got to if you all say so. And he paid, took out his big sack of silver dollars again, and he paid out 1, 2, 3, 4, 100 silver dollars, the same as everybody else. Sam went down. He ran downtown. He went to the grocery store. He got himself the biggest box he could. He filled it full of turkeys and steaks and cakes and pies and potatoes and beans and peas and apples and all kinds of fruit. He went home and his ma fixed him the biggest dinner you could ever see. She cooked him this, she baked him that, she boiled him that, she piled it all on the table. He stuffed it in himself. He ate till he's gotten so fat he could hardly touch the table. He ate until his stomach stuck out so far in front of him he couldn't reach the table with his hands. He rolled off the chair. He rolled onto the floor. His ma rolled him along the floor. She rolled him into his bed. She pulled the covers up over him. She couldn't even tuck him in on the side, and she says, "Good night, Sam. Good night." And Sam went to sleep, and he dreamed he was still out in the ocean. He was climbing up the mast, tipping from side to side. And way off in the distance, he'd see, pew, pew, and he'd holler, "Ah, she blows!" And he'd dream about sitting down beneath the deck with all the other sailors. "Blow, ye winds of the morning, and blow, ye winds, hi-ho. Clear away your running gear. Blow, blow, blow. Blow, ye winds of the morning, and blow, ye winds, hi-ho. Clear away your running gear, and blow, blow, blow."
Hi, this is Pete Seeger. Whether you'd like to be Sam the Whaler, or if you're in the mood for good stories and music from around the world, you ought to listen to Tell Us a Tale with Peter Jones.
Well, we are inviting some of our storytelling musician friends in to share some of their favorite tales. And the next one comes from our buddy Bill Willington from right here in Virginia. And after he's done telling the story, we'll get to hear him play just a bit of the traditional tune, The Boatman, before we run out of time, that is, for this half hour of Tell Us a Tale.
Well, shall we have a tale?
I'd love to hear a tale.
Okay. Maybe I have my fiddle out. I'll tell you the story of the magic fiddle. Now, this is a story I learned from Andrina Belcher, who is a great storyteller who's been in this town several times at the libraries and other places telling stories. And one time I went to see her at the library, and she said, "Well, did you bring your fiddle?" And I said, "Sure." She said, "Okay, well, we're going to tell the story called The Magic Fiddle, and you're going to be in it." So the next thing I know, I was on stage doing the story with her. But that was one of the great gifts that Andrina had, was she was always pulling people up on stage, kids and people from the audience, till the next thing you know, you have 15 people as part of this story on stage, and it was great. But this story is a story that one reason, and she used to introduce the story by saying that a lot of stories are about things that aren't necessarily true, but this story is about the truth itself, which makes it kind of unique. And it's a story about a young man whose name was George. Now, George had worked for a long time for a little old lady, and she gave him a nice place to stay, and she gave him nice clothes to wear and plenty to eat, but she never gave him any money. Now, he didn't even know what money was till one day he was down in town, and his friend said to him, "Hey, George, how much that little old lady pay you anyway?" And he said, "Pay me? Well, she gives me a nice place to stay and nice clothes to wear and plenty to eat. What else is there?" And his friend says, "George, doesn't she give you any money?" "Money? What's that?" And his friend reached in his pocket, pulled out some money, and said, "It's this stuff. You can use it to buy what you want with." "Wow," said George, "I'd like to get some of that money. How do I do it?" "Well, here's what you do. You go to that little old lady and tell her she's got to pay you some money, too. So do that right away." And he did. He went right to that little old lady, and George said, "Little old lady, I've been working for you for 3 long years, and you gave me a nice place to stay and nice clothes to wear and plenty to eat, but you never gave me any money."
"Money? What do you need money for?" Well, I'm not sure, but I'd like to find out.
Well, let's see. You worked there for 3 years. I figure that's worth maybe 3 pennies.
And that's what she gave him. 1, 2, 3. Now, even someone who knew nothing about money knew that 3 pennies is not enough for 3 years' work. So George said, I quit. And you don't want to be a quitter in this life, everybody. But every once in a while, you just got to turn around and walk the other way. And so he did. He turned around and he just walked the other way and said he wasn't going to take it anymore. And after a while, he found himself walking through a deep, dark forest. And he was being very careful not to scare any of the lions or tigers or bears, oh my, that might be out there in the forest, when suddenly he heard the sound of somebody who sounded like they were very, very sad. And he looked around and he didn't see anybody, but the sound was coming from a little tree that was right next to the road. So he went over and listened again. And so he said, is there somebody very sad inside this tree? And a little voice said, yes, it's me. Now go away so I can continue with my boo-hoo-hooing. And George said, well, I've always heard when you feel bad, it's good to tell somebody why you feel sad. Because if you do, you'll always feel better. So why don't you come out and tell me why you're not feeling so well today? And a little voice said, all right. And around from behind this little tree came a little pixie-type lady. She was only so tall, and she had all dressed in white, and she had one of those hats that comes to a cone at the top with a scarf coming out the top, and she said, my story is so sad. You see, I was born on the last second of the last minute of the last hour of the last day of the last week of the last month of the year, and I missed my own birthday. Well, said George, that is sad because you may not have a lot in this life, people, but everybody's got a birthday except for this little pixie type lady. She didn't even have a birthday, and George felt so sorry for her, he reached in his pocket and took out those 3 pennies, you know, the ones he worked 3 long years for, and he gave them to her. 1, 2, 3.
You are so kind, she said. I do feel so much better having told you, and now for what you've done to me, I feel so much better. And, you know, I would like to do something for you. You see, I have a little bit of magic. Not enough for 3 wishes, but probably enough for 1 wish. So if you could have 1 wish in the whole wide world, what would it be?
And George said, well, I never told anybody, but I've always had a secret wish. I've always secretly wished I could play the fiddle. And not just play the fiddle, but play in such a way that anybody who ever heard me would just have to get up and start dancing.
Well, isn't that funny? Because over here in this little tree, I always had this little fiddle. I never knew what it was for. It must be for you.
And she went and got that fiddle, and she said, here, I'll put a little spell on it.
She said, okay, I'll put the spell on it. Now you just give it a try.
And George picked up that fiddle and he said, you know, I never held one before, but it does seem sort of familiar here.
She said, that sounds pretty good. Don't stop now. Just keep it up.
He says, okay, I know something else wants to come out here. Let's see.
Wow, he said, I can actually play the fiddle. You sure can. And did you see, the minute you started playing, I just had to get up and dance. It sounded so good. Now, here's what I want you to do, George. You just take that fiddle and go down the road and make people happy wherever you go.
I will. And so George tucked that fiddle up under his arm and he headed off down the road. And you'd have to say that his prospects and his future were really looking pretty good, because now he had a fiddle under his arm and a song in his heart. What he didn't know was that in his future there was going to be another little old lady. There seemed to be a lot of little old ladies in this story. And this little old lady was out in the forest trying to chop down a tree. Only she was so little and so old she could barely lift the axe. Chop. Chop. And along came George, and he said, little old lady, may I be of some assistance to you? And she said, why, yes. As you can clearly see, I can't even make a dent in this tree. And if you would just chop down this one tree for me, I would gladly pay you $5. $5. He worked 3 years and made 3 pennies, and now for one tree he could make $5. So he said, well, it's a deal. He picked up the axe and chop, chop, chop. Timber!
Now, he said, ma'am, it's been a pleasure doing business with you. Just pay me my $5 on B and I'll be on my way. And she said, well, it wasn't that hard for you to chop down that tree. And I don't think that really for you to chop down that tree was worth $5 whole. So I think that for you to chop down that tree, I'm only going to give you $2. So here's $2. Now go away. Well, you heard her say $5, right? And a deal is a deal is a deal, right? Well, she should pay him the $5, don't you think? Right. She said, I'm not going to do it. Well, what are you going to do about it? And he said, well, you know, if anybody ever mistreats me like this, sometimes it just makes me feel a whole lot better to play my fiddle. So if you don't mind, I'm just going to play my fiddle a little bit right here. So he picked up his fiddle. He started to play. And she started to dance. Only she was so old, it hurt to dance. She said, stop. He said, I won't stop till you pay me my money. I'll pay you the money. Just don't play that thing around me ever again. So she gave him $3, and since she'd already given him $2, if you have three and two, now you have, that's right, $5 in his pocket. He had $5 in his pocket. He had a fiddle under his arm. He had a song in his heart, and things are really looking pretty good for our friend George. But that little old lady, the one with the tree and the axe and the $5, she wasn't too happy about all this. She said, he tricked me. He tricked me, and I don't like to be tricked. I'm going to trick him back. And she went running down to town. She got her a sheriff. She said, Sheriff, Sheriff, we got a big problem out there. There are fiddle players stealing $5 from little old ladies like me. And he's coming into town. And when he comes into town, you got to grab him by the arm and tell him he's under arrest. So right then, George walked into town with a fiddle under his arm. And of course, he had the $5 in his pocket and the song in his heart. And the sheriff went over and grabbed him by the arm and said, you're under arrest. George said, well, what for? And Sheriff said, for stealing $5 from this little old lady right here. And George said, well, I didn't steal it. I worked for it. Well, they reached in his pocket and found the $5. And they said, here it is, the $5. He said, that's right, but I worked for it. I didn't steal it. Just ask her. Well, they asked her. But once again, she said, he stole it. And when she did that, she told a lie. But they believed her because they knew her and they didn't know George, so they didn't believe him. So they took George, they took away his fiddle, they took away his $5, they took away the song in his heart, and they threw him in jail. And then they told him what they did to people around there for stealing $5 for little old ladies. They were going to hang him. Oh, my goodness. George couldn't believe this all was happening to him. And then they just brought him outside, and everybody in town was all gathered in the town square, and they got him up on the scaffolding, and they put the rope over his neck, and right in the front row, there was that little old lady saying, do it! Do it! He deserved it! For stealing $5! Go ahead, do it! And then George said, well, wait a minute. I heard this story before. Don't I get a last wish? Sheriff said, that's right. You do get one last wish. What's your last wish? He said, well, I just want to play my fiddle one more time before I go. And little old lady said, don't let him do it, don't. But they had to because it was his last wish. So he picked up his fiddle and he started to play. And everybody in town started to dance. And that little old lady, she said, stop. I won't stop till you tell the truth. She said, stop. He didn't steal it. He worked for it.
He didn't steal it. I told a little bitty fib.
Folks, that's not a little bitty fib. It's a big, fat lie. So, they gave him back his fiddle. They gave him back his $5, and they sent him on down the road. And they are real happy, too, because we don't have so many fiddle players these days. Now, I don't know what they did to that little old lady for telling that big fat lie, but I know that they reelected the sheriff. And folks, that is the story of the magic fiddle.